Support for Looking Up comes from Cincinnati Museum Center, presenting Destination Moon, the Apollo 11 mission. You can see more than 20 objects flown aboard the historic Apollo 11 mission, plus the command module Columbia, the only portion of the historic spacecraft to survive the lunar journey. Open now at Cincinnati Museum Center.
Hey, Anna, we got a big, big, huge event. November 11th, 2019. Amazing astronomical event, the astronomical event of the year. The planet Mercury will be traveling in front of the sun directly, acting like a little black dot, a little eclipse going in front of the sun.
And a tiny eclipse.
We
right?
can see it all.
Uh-huh.
Are you excited?
Sure.
Planet Mercury. Let me repeat.
Okay,
planet
yeah.
Mercury, sun.
Do it again. Yeah,
Mercury
okay.
in front of sun.
Oh my gosh.
Awesome. There we go. That's the level of
drama.
Excitement we're looking for.
Yes.
This is called a transit of Mercury. Incredibly rare thing. Happens about 13 times every 100 years.
13 times every 100. Okay.
It is during the daytime, and it is perfectly situated for the entire United States to see the entire thing.
Oh, that's nice.
Couple little problems.
Oh.
One is it's daytime.
So close.
Two, it's a Monday. So.
Well, what's wrong with daytime?
Well, daytime, the problem is you're going to be staring at the sun. This isn't quite like
oh,
a solar eclipse.
We're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, it's not like a solar eclipse where you can see a big swath of the sun blocked out by the moon. It's just little tiny dot. So you have to have solar filters, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And Mercury's so dinky that you need to magnify the image. So you need a filter plus a telescope to see this.
Oh, man.
So that means on November 11th, everybody's coming to the observatory. It's going to be so fun because they're going to have to come to us.
I think I'm sick
no!
that day.
No! We're going to have to pull a big all-day shift on
all
that
day
one.
All-day shift.
All day to show
Is it going to be super early morning? Tell me now.
Good news. It's, well, okay, it starts 7:30 a.m.,
oh,
but
funny.
Then it wraps up at 1 o'clock, and then
we go home.
Then we go to lunch. We go to happy hour.
That's
it's going
right.
to be fine.
Perfect.
Perfect day.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
All right, November 11th. Mark it down. From the studios of Cincinnati Public Radio, I'm Dean Regas, and this is Looking Up.
And I'm Anna Heeman. We're both from the Cincinnati Observatory, where Dean's the astronomer and co-host of the PBS series Stargazers, and I'm in search of answers. In this episode, Dean's Stargazers co-host James Albury joins us to talk about the show and space and who knows what else. Wow, you're really excited about this transit.
Well, so I do have to admit, this is one of the astronomical events, maybe the last astronomical event I have never witnessed personally.
Really?
I've seen...
We had a transit like a...
3 years ago.
Well, whatever. We had one, though.
I know. It was clouded out. I was...
Oh,
I hid
so
my
early.
Disappointment.
Yeah, you did a great
I
job.
I was... What, by yelling at the clouds. Get away, clouds!
We had to watch it on like a big screen. That's all right. That was sad. I'm sorry.
No, so this one I'm like...
You feel good, though?
I'm nervous because that one was in 2016, so it was May. And that's usually good weather in Cincinnati.
Right.
But now we're going to be November of 2019. So I thought, okay, if I miss the one in May 2016, I got 2019. If I miss this one,
uh-oh.
The next one won't happen until 2049 in the United States.
Oh,
and
man.
I'm a patient man.
Yeah.
But I if Clearly. You know one thing about me, I'm a patient man.
Right.
But I'm not that patient.
Mean?
I don't know. I don't know. It just felt right.
I agree. But you have to wait like 30 years.
30 years. So I am not going to miss this
God,
one.
You're going to be like 100 if you have to wait like 30
exactly,
years.
Exactly. I know.
Man.
It'd be ridiculous.
You know, the problem though with November in Cincinnati, it could be like the most perfect fall day or it could be like 90 degrees.
It could be anything. It could be anything.
It's a crapshoot.
So I'm going to have the car is packed. It will be.
Are you kidding me?
I'm going to be mobile if I have to be. I'm going wherever I got to go.
Am I going to end up at the observatory with like hundreds of people wanting to see this thing and you're just like vominos out of to wherever?
That's the plan.
This is terrible.
Well, if it's a beautiful day, I'll be there. How about that?
Oh, great. That's what's that phrase about fair weather?
I am a
no.
total fair weather astronomer.
Unbelievable.
I make no bones about that.
So this is ridiculous?
Yeah.
Where are you going to go? If it's, you're just going to like drive till it's like sunny?
I'm looking. I'm looking at my retirement homes, and you know, something like Tucson sounds good. 350 clear days a year.
Man.
That sounds pretty nice.
That sounds toasty.
Yeah, it's warm. It's,
yeah,
it's a dry heat,
for sure.
Though. But
it's a dry.
We'll
Why do people say that?
It's it's still hot.
Uncomfortable.
It's still ridiculously hot.
Yeah.
So here's the deal on the transit. For everybody around the country, they're going to see it about the same time.
Okay.
So it starts about 7:35 in the morning. That's when the Mercury makes itself known. You can see it silhouetted against the sun's background.
Is the sun even up by then?
For us, it is.
Okay.
So that's the plus. So for the East Coast, we get to see, you know, in the Midwest, we get to see the whole thing. But if you're in the West Coast, then you don't see it right away because the sun hasn't risen. So we get to see the beginning, and then it slowly crosses the disk of the sun, takes about 5.5 hours to go from one side to the other. So it's a pretty slow process.
Gosh.
I know. So we can like take a break, you know, we can
get a neck massage from all that looking up you're going to be doing.
Exactly. Like, right. Adjust our chairs, you know, that kind of thing. And so then it wraps up at about 1:04 p.m. That's when Mercury then leaves the front of the sun and then disappears in the blackness of space, and we don't see it again. So, it's
but it could be cloudy and then sunny.
Exactly.
Or sunny then cloudy.
We could have part, yeah, so you get the whole day. So we get the whole 5.5 hours for us to check this out. So so the good news is this is a holiday also. So November 11th is Veterans Day.
That's what I thought you were talking about when you were like, I'm so excited.
Because
like
Veterans Day. Yeah, well, I like
Although
veterans
are amazing.
Yeah, yeah, I like my Veterans Day.
Absolutely.
Sure. And a lot of people are off work that day. And so people in some schools are off as well. So we're trying to get the word out to, that people can, you know, either if they are working to play hooky,
nice.
If they're in school, well, they should still go to school.
It's an educational opportunity, though.
Exactly. And so we're trying to get the word out to teachers as well to get them to try to observe this because they've got the kids there. They can set up some very easy telescopes to be able to see this. And so we started a project called Shoot the Messenger.
Right.
This is where we encourage people to take pictures of the transit of Mercury.
Do you want to tell them why it's called Shoot the Messenger?
Yes.
Or do you want me to? You should do it.
I bet.
I know why, though.
Go ahead.
No, you should.
Okay, so
I know why though.
Mercury is the messenger god, and so
Hermes.
That's right in Greek, and so
or Hermes for the designer fans.
So we had one of our teachers suggest this, like that he thought this would be a great idea, like to get the kids and adults, everybody, to take a picture of it. And so Shoot does and take a picture of the messenger. And we have this really cool logo that one of our art students made of Mercury, the god, taking a picture of himself with a selfie
stick.
With
a selfie stick.
In front of the sun.
It is hilarious.
So we're hoping to get the word out and people can make their own equipment and observe this. And if nothing else, if you know, check with your local science center, observatory, museum, that they will probably be doing something. And you can go to, if you don't want to build your own equipment, go to one of those places and see if you can see the transit of Mercury on November 11th.
Yeah, come to the observatory and ask for Dean Regis.
Yes.
He'll be so excited to see you.
I would love to not have to go anywhere. It would be great if I could just...
If you're not there, you're not there.
I'll tweet where I am.
That's great.
And they can try to find me.
That's nice. Well, we're excited to have James Albury, your co-host on Stargazers, join us today on the podcast. It's going to be amazing. And there's some news about Stargazers that you're going to share. That's some inside scoop. So why don't you tell us what's going on?
Yep. Well, so we've been doing this show for about 9 years and about 900 episodes.
That's
we
crazy.
Do a five-minute show and a one-minute show every week for 9 years. And so we just got word that the show is ending. We are wrapping up our production. Yeah, we've been doing this for so long. It's like, you know, I had dark hair and James had some hair. And so we figured, you know, maybe it's time to try something else. But
hang up your hoverboards.
It's a little sad. We were both, James and I were a little sad about it all. And we're thinking back about all the things, the programs we've done, because we were the writers of the show too. So we would write the episodes and kind of figure out what topics to cover. And but it's just been such a fun trip with this. And after 9 years, we're looking at doing some new things. And but we're really want to thank all the viewers out there that have been watching the show. And so the final episodes, it's going to run through November. Mm-hmm. So it'll go through the end of November. That'll be our final shows. And so for the next couple weeks or so, definitely watch all those shows and let us know how we're doing with it and what you thought of the show and what it might have meant to you.
And now this clears the way for you and I to get to 900 episodes.
Yes.
I know that's what you're really excited
exactly.
about.
Exactly. Yeah, we need to do this twice a week. How about that? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, because at this rate, it's going to take a while to get to 900. What are we on, 50?
Yeah, I don't think 55? We're there yet. It's going to take time.
Yeah, but it's
well, it's exciting, though. You guys have done an amazing job, and I know people come into the observatory all the time and say, oh, is Dean from Stargazers here? And we're like, yes, he works here. Yeah. They're like, what, he's here? He's not in some, like, air-conditioned trailer somewhere? Well, nope.
It's more usually like, oh, you're that guy. wait, are you... You're the guy on the hoverboard in the middle of the night that comes into my house. Is like, yeah, that sounds creepy the way you say that. But I'm the guy that talks about stars. Yeah. So I'm glad that people actually know, because we're pretty little on that screen. And it's, they always air it in very strange times. But it's, our goal was to continue the legacy of the fellow that started it, Jack Horkheimer, because there's really nothing like it. There's no other program that talks about backyard astronomy, what you can see from your own yard at night and without telescopes and that kind of stuff. And so we're going to be looking at some other ways to get that info out to people. And we're really excited to go on our victory tour, I guess, and say thanks to everybody for helping us out for all these years.
That's great.
Well, we're really excited to have my friend James Albury, the director of the Kika Silva Plot Planetarium in Gainesville, Florida, and my co-host on Stargazers on PBS. He's a great friend, and I'm really happy he's joining us today. James, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, I'm very pleased to join you, Dean.
Well, so we're going to be looking back to 9 years of Stargazer and Stargazers that we've been working on. And I like to think about the very beginning. Can you think back to your auditions when you first came into the studio to start off with the show? Give us what happened.
Oh, goodness. Okay, well, one, I was very nervous. And two, I remember I was wearing... I wore a blue shirt like I do now, but I had a tie on. So I dressed up as if I was going to a job interview.
Oh, yeah. You got to impress them.
And yeah. So I did the episode I did was, it was we'd recorded in March. And at that time, the way we were doing the episodes is that Jack would have them do the special effects live as we were recording. So with that type of production, we could only do maybe two episodes a day. So I did the episodes for April. So I came in on Monday and did two episodes, and came in on Tuesday and did two episodes. So and I remember Bill DeShong, who was our producer, he was saying, slow down a little bit as you're reading the teleprompter, because it sounds like you're nervous. So calm down, have a conversation with the audience, not just talking a million miles an hour, because when I get excited, I talk very quickly. So I have to note, I put in dramatic pauses, kind of like that one.
Oh, that was a good
one.
Was
I was like on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
I know. Isn't it amazing?
It drew us in.
So, but anyway, yeah, it was really neat. And I got to sit on one of the rings of Saturn, like Jack Horkheimer used to. And the way they did it, because everything is green screen, they actually had a green chair. I mean, like the chair, it was one of those... kind of like a pub table chair, but it was green. I was like, wow, that's really cool. I was telling Dean recently that we need to get some of those because I'm getting older. I'm 52 now. I started the show when I was in my early 40s. Like, oh God. So anyway, but it was a lot of fun. And then, cause the reason I was on the show was because when Jack passed away, I was watching the episodes on YouTube because I didn't get to see it on TV as much as some people do. Mm-hmm. But I noticed that they had different guest hosts, and the last one that I saw was Dean, because he had done the episodes, I think, in February, or either January or February, because Chris Tritt And the other, I can't remember the guy, Romano from New Jersey, he hosted for a couple episodes. So I contacted Bill DeShong and asked, hey, how would I be able to be a guest host for a month? And he said, well, send us a video or something of you doing something on television, and we'll take a look at it. And just that past December, I did an interview with our local TV station on the lunar eclipse that was happening on December 21st. So I was able to get a clip of that, and I sent it to them, and apparently they liked it, so they invited me to do the episodes for April. So I drove down to Miami, and they did the recording. And then you can actually, I think you can still find those episodes if you do a search on either the Frost Planetariums or, you know, Frost Science, their page, or WPVT, which you have to go back to 2011.
Oh, let's not encourage them.
Oh my gosh, that sounds great. First
shows, I can't look at them. I can't watch them.
What?
I'm in a deer in a headlights when I'm looking. I can see my eyes are like saucers.
I bet James looks like a pro.
Oh, he was smooth.
And
he
you're
was smooth
like...
when he started. He was like pointing stuff. He was like finger
sitting
guns.
Sitting on that chair.
He was
like,
sitting on the chair. He could fly through. Yeah.
I felt like a clunky Model T getting on the interstate.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate when you first start out.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but the thing that I like most about the dynamic of how, because they when it was decided that they were going to have both Dean and I on the show, Marlene Hidalgo, she was a science teacher in South Florida at the time, and they had all three of us on the show simultaneously, so they changed the name of the show from Jack Horkheimer's Stargazer to Stargazers, which talked about the multiplicity of the stargazing talent, I guess. So over the years, the dynamic between Dean and I had improved, where we would have conversations and stuff like that, and we would actually write little gags into each episode. And after about 3 years, Marlene, her family moved up to New Jersey because her husband got a job up there, so she wasn't able to continue the show with us. But Dean and I continued to work together, and we would occasionally... Well, one thing we did was Dean was the evening astronomer, and I was the morning astronomer because I always wake up at 5 in the morning regardless of whether it's the weekend.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that. I'm the night owl. You're the early bird.
Yikes. Oh, yeah, that's fun.
So
it's like...
No. Yeah, so we wrote that into the script a few times. And then I can't remember which episode was the first one we did it, but it was actually an ad lib where we were talking about conjunctions, and I just started dancing out of the blue. And he said, hey, that actually works. So we actually wrote it into various episodes whenever there was a conjunction. And there was one episode we did last year. I think it was the early part of the year. It was called the Moon Conjunction Junction, where there were four planetary conjunctions with the moon in a period of 2 weeks, and I spontaneously exploded.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because when you started dancing in that one ad lib, and then, like, at the end of that take, I was like, whoa, that was really good. And, like,
did you really?
Yeah, because I was like, he's...
Or were you like, I'm not going to be dancing?
James ups it when he's dancing. He's even better. So I was like, dance for the whole episode, James. Like, it was like, that one was gold.
Come on.
It's
but
for
I remember
some reason.
Dean. It was so hard for Dean to concentrate, though, because he's busy trying to read the scientific information accurately and focused, and I'm standing there dancing,
doing the Cabbage Patch
start...
and the Running Man or whatever you're doing, whatever various things.
Dean's like he's going off script.
The monster or whatever. Yeah. Mashed
and,
potato.
And the thing is that when it came my turn to read, my brain is saying okay. The right side of the brain has to dance, the left side of the brain has to read, and you have to make sure that you don't mess up, because then you have to do the tape all over again. So usually now when I would dance, I'd stop dancing and I'd talk.
And then you go back to dancing while Dean's talking?
Yep.
Yeah, like,
pretty much.
I like that.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
pretty
or good. we write it in that I dance just before we cut to the next break. Another thing that we do is we try to kill each other on, like, we had Dean fall into the Great Red Spot, and then he loves to have me destroyed on Venus. And we have an episode coming up soon where we get to do that again, where I start steaming, and then I get crushed and melted.
Yeah, it's as if
he was
on the
whole thing. Like, I'm melting.
Yeah.
Like sort of, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he's good at that. And then I get squished by an ice cream cone from the sky once.
What?
And a constellation looks like an ice cream cone. And
oh, man.
James held the sun for a while.
Dangerous.
Where we tried to get his hair to burn off, but it already was burned off. So
man.
They wouldn't go for, like,
he's threatened by your dance moves,
it's
James.
True.
I think he's lashing out.
That's true. And then, of course,
there were times.
Yeah, where we make fun of each other. Like, I call you Four Eyes. No, you call me Four Eyes, and I call you Stargazer. So that's.
Man. You know,
both are equally accurate for both of us.
Well,
so.
Yeah.
Four Eyes and Stargazer.
Face team.
Oh, man. So some of the highlights, some highlights there.
Yeah.
I mean, geez, what a good time.
Anna has some questions. I don't know what they are.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and ask questions.
I'm going to ask, I say rapid fire, but it's not going to be rapid fire. Okay, you have to say the person, you both don't listen to each other, just say who you think, okay?
James goes first, he usually does.
Okay,
so.
James.
Okay, and I'll repeat.
I know which ones, you know, whatever. Who's more likely to mess up, you or Dean? You can be honest, James.
Me, but it depends on how much rest I had before I get to the studio, because I leave Gainesville early that morning.
That's
and I
right.
get there about
okay.
4 hours later. So in addition to driving on the Florida Turnpike, then when I get to South Florida, when we did it in Miami, oh my gosh, I did it with Miami traffic.
Ugh.
And it was awful. And then as soon as I got there, we had to tape. And I used to stay at the hotel the previous night, but with the logistics of everything and trying to get back home to pick my son up from school and all that business, it's just easier to...
So you had a reason that you were messed up. Dean,
yeah.
What was your reason? You had a nice night's sleep.
No excuse. Day before on the beach, relaxing
right.
in South Florida.
Just.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, one thing that we used to have a problem with is that when Dean would pronounce, I guess, words with the letter P or
P's
something like
and
that,
T's.
They would hear a popping sound on the microphone. So they had to turn his microphone upside down.
Are you serious?
For his record.
Just
yeah.
for those two
so mine
sounds?
Was, well, I don't know. For a long time, he just has this random popping sound. I was like, well, maybe it's because he spits when he talks or something. I don't know. So they flip his they flip the little lavalier microphone upside down on its little clip, and that seemed to help the problem. Another one was they just made sure our batteries were fresh when we started the recording.
Oh,
yeah, I
sense.
Talk very, very loud on the set. Like, that's why they've turned my microphone down. Like, James is just like... keep looking up, guys, like this. And I'm just like, keep looking up.
Keep
like,
looking up.
That's what it's like. So they had to turn my mic down. And like, I'm totally aware of it. Like
really?
At the end, I'm like, good Lord, that was loud.
Yeah, it's like I'm soft-spoken. And when I talk, you can hear a mouse pee on cotton. But when he's talking, people over across the street doing Zumba can hear.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. He's really quiet in our office, James. I'm sorry to deal with him like yelling all the time. That sounds awful.
Well, he thinks that he has to actually, the people on TV have to hear him
right.
from
oh,
their
yeah.
living room.
Yes.
That's right. He's going to make sure they can hear. Okay, next rapid fire, but not very rapid fire question. Who's more likely to be a diva on set? James, you go first.
Dean.
I knew it. Dean?
Yeah.
He's nodding, James.
Where's my
yeah.
water?
Like, yeah. I bet he's like, it better
my
be bottled.
Be 32 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah. That's
oh
that's
gosh.
Pretty accurate.
Are you kidding?
Well, not that part.
He even had his own makeup artist for a while.
I did.
What?
But those were the days. Boy, that was those were cushy
I had to put
days.
My own makeup on.
Oh my Lord.
But he said I will only do this if the director will put my makeup on. So our director, Miss Bell, she would come in there and she put makeup on Dean.
That's 70% accurate.
That's enough for me.
Not 100%.
I'm taking it as fact, James.
But.
Excellent story. Excellent anecdote. Oh, my Lord.
Boy, I don't like the way these questions are
I love it. Okay,
right,
Dean. Okay,
next,
okay. Here, Dean, you can answer
this
one, okay? Who's more likely to go off script?
Oh, ooh.
For a little vamping.
That's me also.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, I read most of the words that are there. Like,
mm-hmm.
But there's times at the end of the read, I'm just like, boy, that wasn't in there, was it?
Like, nope.
Nope, it wasn't.
We have to... it's going to confuse the transcriber for the closed captioning. Say, wait a minute, that's not in the script they sent us.
Yep.
Oh man.
So yeah, when either one of us do that, we look at each other and like, did what we just say make sense? And we're like, yep, made sense. Or no, it didn't make sense. So.
Oh man.
Yep.
And we hope that we don't accidentally say waxing instead of waning because it messes up the whole thing.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. That's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, last one, just so the you know. Who, okay, I don't, you guys can both, you can fight over who gets answers. And who is nerdier? I say it with love, but who's nerdier? I mean, come on. Dean looks nervous, James.
I think we both have the same on the nerd quotient.
Aww, that's nice.
I think it's Dean. Yeah, okay, now true, I've competed in bodybuilding. I work out, so I look buff, but I'm still a nerd because... You know, I know at least 70 star names.
Oh wow!
Which is kind of scary, because I've been learning all my star names because there's a fellow planetarium director here in Florida. His name is John Bell, and he's down at the Indian River State College. And he, during our constellation shootout competition, he was naming off stars as if he named them himself.
Oh,
my gosh, he was really good. So I aspired to be like him. So, so we both judge the competitions now because I keep winning them. So they thought, okay, you're not playing anymore. You just judge. And the people in our local astronomy club are amazed at how many stars and constellations I know. I said, well, it's an occupational hazard. One, I work in a planetarium, and two, I have to teach all this stuff to people on TV, on Stargazers. So I have to research all these different stars and how far away they are. And, you know, it's stuff that...
You can't help that you know a ton of stuff.
Yeah, now ask me about a plant, I couldn't tell you.
Oh, yeah.
I can't tell whether a berry is edible or whether it'll kill you. So, and in Florida, you don't want to just eat random plants.
That's good advice universally, but yeah, I think that's a good call.
Well, you're good at what you do.
Well, so I didn't
ask. And I know to stay in my lane.
I didn't answer that question, but you just did for me. So I think I don't know if James, you ever heard this, but I got interviewed once and somebody asked me like, so who's the cool one? And I don't know if you ever saw this. I think it was printed and it said, well, I'm happy to say after meeting James Albury, I'm the cool one.
Oh, man.
And I just thought I'd just stir up the pot a little bit with that one.
To be cool, I would have to like sound like James Earl Jones or Samuel Jackson or something. I'm not. My voice doesn't even lend itself to being cool.
Oh, you
like,
cut yourself
like Dean's
short.
Does though.
Exactly.
I mean, I think you can't ask either one of you who's cooler because that's just you got to ask the people.
Yeah, we'll do a poll.
We'll do a poll.
We should do a poll on the podcast.
Facebook survey time.
Well, James, it's been a lot of fun reminiscing. It's been a pleasure working with you for the last 9 years on Stargazers, and we'll be doing a lot more stuff coming up, I'm sure.
Yeah, I hope we have another joint project in the near future, because I'm going to miss seeing you every 2 months.
Aw, same here.
That was nice.
Same here. Well, keep looking up, buddy.
Oh, man.
Okay, and y'all keep looking up, and thank you, Anna, for arranging all this.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, she did all this.
It was all me.
All arranged.
I made it all happen. All right, well, separating fact from fiction when it comes to outer space, it's a tireless job. Thank goodness you're up for it. And we're going to play a little game of fact or fiction with Dean here. Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
Ready.
I have a transit, since you're so excited about the transit... A transit fact or fiction.
Mm-hmm.
True or false, you can view the transit with eclipse glasses.
That is false if you use the eclipse glasses by themselves. Yeah, the transit of Mercury is this, I mean, it is the nerd's eclipse. Like, I mean, this is like the
eclipse
super
was already
subtle,
nerdy enough.
Right, so double, multiply that by 10.
Okay, great.
Because, yeah, Mercury's so tiny compared to the sun, it'll just look like a little dot. So if you have those glasses from the eclipse, you look at the sun, you will not notice anything different.
Really?
The sun will look exactly the same. So you have to be able to magnify the image a little bit. So you need a filter on a telescope. Or something like that, or projection that can project.
So no welder's
image.
Glass, no. Nothing.
Welder's glass, not enough.
You gotta magnify.
Yep, you gotta magnify. So look online how you can do that with your own equipment, and look up Shoot the Messenger. Of course, we've got all the info how you can do it yourself.
Nice. All right. So, also, Halloween's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite holidays. Super fun. Mm-hmm. The beginning of fall, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking, and there are some tie-ins between Halloween and, of course, astronomy. So, two true or false questions. True or false, there are several celestial objects with spooky names. Death Eater Nebula, Witch's Head Nebula, Ghost Nebula.
True. Absolutely true.
Creepy. Death Eater?
Yeah, the astronomers get into this stuff. Like they're
so
they like to make some pretty cool names to things,
mm-hmm.
and so yeah, there's not only those names, but there's also the ancient constellations. I mean, fall is the time where we have the monsters in the sky. We've got a guy holding Medusa's head. Perseus is up in the sky, and even the star that's supposed to be her head. Its name is Algol, and Algol means. Well, it could be translated as the ghoul, the devil's head, the Satan's head, piled up corpses. It has all sorts of really nasty names.
Can I look directly at it?
Yes. you won't turn to stone.
Just saying.
You won't turn to stone. But it was all because the ancients watched the star and it changed its brightness. It got bright and then it got dim. And it got bright and it got dim. And things in the heavens weren't supposed to do that. So that was the devil star.
That's scary.
And then you got, a sea monster constellation called Cetus. And did you ever see that movie, Clash of the Titans? Like the
No, but is that the one that came out and was going to eat, what's her name?
Andromeda.
Andromeda.
That's right. So the old Clash of the Titans movie with the really, really, really bad animation. I mean, awful. Just terrible. I love the movie. It was great. But, you know, for the 80s, they could have done better. But... They got the myth really pretty good with Perseus saving Andromeda with Medusa's head and all that stuff. And then they made a new version of Clash of the Titans with a lot better animation, but not as good storytelling.
Can't have it all.
You can't have it all, no.
And then, of course, we have to, just because it's the time of year, I don't make the rules, we should probably address and answer the question, is the observatory haunted?
Ooh, that is a good question. Is the observatory haunted? Yeah, I mean, because the observatory has been there 140 years at its current location. The telescope's 174 years old.
Creepy stuff.
There's a lot of creepy stuff. It looks creepy.
I don't say they're at night.
It's at night. You hear the floorboards are creaking.
Yeah.
You hear the wind whistling through the dome. And
All that.
And, I mean, it does seem like a creepy place, but...
Sometimes it does.
I've worked there and been around the observatory 20 years. I have seen no ghosts, zero ghosts, no hauntings, nothing superstitious. However...
What are you hiding?
However, am I protesting too much?
That's right. Who are you protecting?
Yeah, I don't want you to know about the ghosts. I want to keep them myself.
That's right. They're your friends.
That's right. They're my friends. I mean,
your biggest fans.
So you come to the observatory at midnight, I'm talking to myself. So what?
like you're perfect,
right.
People. Come on.
Yeah. But I am happy to say that the ghost hunters disagree with my analysis. I don't know if they're professionals, but there are ghost hunters and they
professional what?
They had some equipment.
Uh-huh.
And so they came to the observatory a number of years ago, and within a half hour, they found no less than 7 ghosts. I know. Isn't that amazing? Like, I've been there 20 years.
Wait,
I haven't seen
building?
Any.
Wait, which building? Just everywhere?
Yeah.
They're just running rampant.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, 20 years, I haven't seen any. They found 7 in 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
That's how good they are. They're very good.
Yeah, you weren't looking.
No, they're good. They're good. So I'll leave it up to you guys if you want to think it's haunted or not. But so far, no, not for me. But if you're attuned to that thing, I guess maybe they're there.
Yeah, you can't say for sure.
I guess you're right. I guess,
I mean,
we'll put science on one side and superstition on the other. I guess you can't say for certain.
That's fair enough. That's it for this episode of Looking Up. Thanks so much to James Albury for joining us. We've got links to James and the Kika Silva Pla Planetarium on our website, wvxu.org/lookingup.
And thank you for listening. We'd love to get your ideas for guests or topics or any questions you or your kids may have about space, astronomy, and science. You can drop us a note on Facebook or Twitter or email us at lookingup@wvxu.org.
The archives of all past episodes of Looking Up is easy to find. Check out interviews with William Shatner, astronaut Scott Kelly, former NASA head Charlie Bolden, and many more at wvxu.org/lookingup.
You can subscribe to Looking Up wherever you listen to podcasts. And please give us a rating and comment on Apple Podcasts. It really helps, and we really appreciate it.
Our theme song and additional music is by Why, that's W-H-Y question mark, from their album Moline, courtesy of Joyful Noise Recordings and Terror Bird Media.
Looking Up is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio. Kevin Reynolds is our producer, Josh Elstro is our engineer, and Jim Nolan provides additional technical assistance.
Thanks so much for listening. I'm Anna Heeman.
And I'm Dean Regas. Keep looking up.